Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
Justin Bieber. Sorry. Hope 103.2, 13 past 5.
Don't worry about lock up your teenage girls. Lock up your Aaron.
Yeah, wow. Well,
we've come a long way since commemorative teaspoons. I'll give them that much.
Absolutely.
This morning we have discovered the Will and Kate pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You can check that out on our Facebook page.
Lovely.
Aaron and Helen. It might be the cheesiest merchandise ever.
Yes, good, good one. There's some love heart plates I've seen. Very nice.
Uh-huh.
Shaped as a love.
The stencil for the chocolate on the top of your cappuccino.
Nice.
You can have a Will or a Kate cap.
I want to see that at the various franchises available in Sydney. I want to see a couple of, you know, your choice.
Yeah, I think you'd be ordering a skinny cap if you were getting Kate on it.
Maybe
you'd think the wedding stress has shrunk her right down.
One I've seen here, genuine, is a commemorative toilet seat. You know, you've got the the lid.
Is it crocheted?
No. The lid, the plastic lid, has the royal emblem and seal and all that stuff. And
Great. Look, those ones are taken. But maybe you've got an amazing business idea yourself. Is there anything you'd like to see in the royal merchandising? Rod, you've got some ideas on how we can merchandise this wedding a bit better?
I do. In fact, what I've got in mind already exists. It's called a remote control channel changer. So when the wedding comes on TV, you just press it and you can, like, change your channel to something else, or maybe even watch a DVD or something.
Powerful.
30 years ago, something big happened. Something big. The original Terminator film came out.
Yes.
If you're a Terminator film fan. Well, after four films, four of them, guess who signed up for number 5?
No.
Yep, the former Californian governor. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Number 5. Good on him. Look, why not? If he can get the gig and it's got such a following.
He's a machine.
Mm.
He's got a metal endoskeleton. Is he supposed to age?
Yeah, but
that's tough to get around.
Hollywood technology and stuff like that. You never sort of get old.
Hasta la Botox, baby.
Yeah, and, you know, that would be okay too because his face was in the movies was quite serious.
Uh-huh.
He didn't move much. There's not much animation. He wasn't, like, laughing and pulling faces.
Unlike many of his other roles where
he
extended his emotional range so far.
Valid point, Helen. Valid point. But, well, anyway, I'm sure it'll be coming soon. And good on him. Look, number 5, why not? Just keep rolling them out.
Yeah, quite literally they might be rolling him out for it in his wheelchair.
The app title, I think, for number 5, Rise of the Machines and Salvation and all those ones, it should be Flogging a Dead Horse.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Nice. Prince William and Kate Middleton have requested no gifts. They've requested just donations to their specified charities.
Nice.
I think I might have figured out why, though.
Yeah.
The Queensland government, back when the Queen married the Duke of Edinburgh, sent them, as a wedding gift, 500 cases of tinned pineapples.
Why?
Well, it's an export. But, you know, so is coal. He didn't send him a bag of that for their wedding, did you?
That's bizarre.
Well,
what if it's still in the kitchen somewhere?
There have been a lot of upside-down cakes in the palace ever since.
Just imagine the phone call to the kitchen. One would like a ham and pineapple pizza, please.
Yeah.
Have we got any tin pineapple? Oh, that's stuff from Australia from 50 years ago, however long they've been married.
Yes, 1947.
Wow.
Uh-huh. But apparently, in Queensland's defence, it was still post-war time, so there was rationing going on, and Her Majesty could distribute it however she wanted, and so it was actually quite a lovely gift. But
very well. That's all right then. That makes it a nicer story, I suppose.
If I ever make it down the aisle, though, and you give me a can of pineapple, we're no longer friends.
I'll keep that in mind. A little reluctant about this one.
Oh, don't be scared.
Okay.
He's a professional.
I know.
He's a professional vet, and he's got some advice for us this morning about, well, one of the less socially acceptable problems that our pets can face sometimes. Dr. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Helen. Come on, brace yourselves for this, people.
Okay.
It's not exactly breakfast time viewing, but I'll try and sort of gloss over the chunky bits. I had a call over the Easter long weekend, a very concerned friend was seeing some symptoms in their dog and was worried about intestinal worms.
Oh, puppy.
And, and so we were able to work through that one absolutely fine. But as we talked through the whole issue of worms, I mean, who wants to talk through that issue? But I guess the thing that came to mind for me is that it is a pretty important part of pet ownership.
Uh-huh.
It's quite different to the worm talk that you had if you're talking to people, and it can be really quite confusing. So I thought it might be just good to cover off a couple of questions. What worms do our pets get? How will we know that they have it, and what should we do about it? And so if we can possibly deal with that topic, I think it could be a really worthwhile thing to do just because it concerns the well-being of our pets.
So come on then, hit us with
this. Yeah,
all right. First is, what worms do they get? And there's three I want to cover off, because worms in dogs, it just gets so confusing. First, intestinal worms are the things that we're going to cover today. Unlike in people, because we have much better hygiene practices and all the rest of it, worms are much less of an issue for us. But for our pets, they just do some things. They eat off the ground. They smell each other's butt. You know, there are things that go on, which means it's a bigger topic for them. Interestingly, they have about 11 different types of intestinal worms that they get. And there's going to be a spot quiz at the end of this hour. And so I'm going to be mentioning some of the names of these words. I want you to write them down. I want you to memorize them. So there's Echinococcus granulosus, which is the tapeworm that they get. There's whipworm, roundworm, hookworm. There's the flea tapeworm, which is called Spirometra erinaceae.
Wow.
And if that doesn't turn you off your cornflakes, nothing will. Basically, there are 11 different types of worms. It's a big deal. Our pets are also susceptible to heartworm. Now, that's spread by mosquitoes. Completely different topic, and we'll deal with that another day. The third type of worm they get is no worm at all, and that's ringworm. That's actually caused by a fungus. So as you can see, with all those worms out there, people do get pretty confused.
Okay, yep. So it's not as simple as sort of the one little chewable tablet once a month and that's it?
Yeah, it can be. It can be as simple as that, but we have to figure out which type of worm we're trying to treat.
Right.
Today we're going to talk about intestinal worms. Second question that people come up with is, how do I know if they've got it? You know, I've been noticing some signs. I think they're losing weight. He's looking a little bit dull in the coat. He's dragging his butt along the ground.
Uh-huh.
You know, they come up with a lot of questions, say, you know, how will I know if my dog or cat has worms? And this is where we need to sort of turn our thinking on its head. Stop looking for signs. Don't think about treatment. This is an area that's all about prevention. And so really what we need to say is, don't be looking for signs. By the time we get to, you know, them showing some signs, then, you know, the horse has bolted. We really have to be thinking about prevention. And it can be as simple as just visit your vet, get a good stock of intestinal oarwormers, and use them. For a mature dog, they just need to be given once every 3 months.
Oh, okay.
So it's really get the right tablets from your vet. Measure your dog's body weight, because it's important, especially with growing dogs. You know, you think, oh, surely he's only 8 kilos. I'm sure that's what he was last time. A bit like us, like next time you put on the scales, you find he's 12, you find you've been underdosing him. So the right treatments from your vet, the right dose weight rate, and every 3 months, which can be a bit of a challenge. I mean, how do you remember a three-month interval? Unless you've got an iPhone or a really reliable calendar, the best way that I've found is the first Saturday of the school holidays. If you've got school children, every time it's school holidays, that's the prompt to remind you to worm your pet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. Easy one.
Last thing is just, you know, are there general other things that we can do? Cleaning up in the yard, cleaning up the waste in the yard is going to be a good thing to break the life cycle. Another thing to know is that it's always going to be our younger pets and our older pets that are more vulnerable. So if you've got a young, a puppy or a kitten, as part of that, you know, visiting the vet for the first time, going through their first vaccinations, get the drill on how often they need to be wormed, because they sort of need to be done weekly until they're 12 weeks of age, every month until they're 6 months, and then every 3 months of age. So all of that to say, you've got to be pretty intentional about it, get some professional advice, use the right products, and there'll be no problems at all in the pets in your household.
Great. Well, I'm not going to be having noodles for lunch after this conversation. But we do need to check in with you, because you're expecting a litter of puppies in your household at the moment. Any news on that front?
Oh, I tell you what, Kakoa, she's our skinny little mini poodle, and she's usually such trim, taut and terrific thing. In fact, she's always been one of these little twiggy puppies. You know, she's such a skinny mini, and she's just got the little round pot belly, and she's so cute. We can't stop just admiring her. She looks lovely in a motherly way. And so counting down the sleeps, perhaps perhaps as early as next week. There'll be a sleepless night. There'll be and the sound of patter of little feet. I say she's only having three, but I think she's probably having like 13 the size of her belly. She's looking pretty prodigious.
She's exciting times.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.